Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting!
With Dan the Mouth Labransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
It's the most wonderful night of the year in pro wrestling, that is. A night where nostalgia is on high as we duck back to our childhood and enjoy the most regal of all events in wrestling, the Royal Rumble. And tonight we got one of the best Rumble surprises since Kane smashed Honky Tonk over the head with a guitar. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event coming at you on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and if I drew number one tonight, the man across from me drew number two, so let's make it 1980. And do this demolition style, Mouth.
Let's go at it, Jay.
Were there classic moments tonight? Did you leave satisfied?
You know what? It was going into the show, I was a little skeptical, but you know what? There were some great moments, and they did some smart things and some super surprises, and I'm actually left with questions that I want answered.
That's rare.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. It was a long one tonight. We're on the air just after 11:30, but we're going to take you on through this pay-per-view, give us our thoughts, and then looking for you to give us yours. We'll go through all the entrances, eliminations, ups and downs of the show tonight, plus Dave Meltzer is fresh off the Jericho cruise.
Yes.
We're hoping to have him if he's not too jet-lagged in our second hour tonight. Along with that, we've got the third round, another third round matchup in the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. So it is Royal Rumble time. And that means we're looking for your phone calls as we are live tonight. 1-866-729-2562. Give us a call. It is the Mouth and myself, Jason Agnew. It's Sunday Night's Main Event. We're taking a break and coming back to run down the Royal Rumble 2020 right here on TSN Radio.
Dolph back into the ring. Styles as well. Who's it going to be?
You think you know me?
Be kidding me.
The rated R superstar! Edge is here!
On this day, I see clearly.
Welcome back. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. No, this is not a repeat episode from many years ago in the Rumble where Edge had that amazing comeback, and I've played that on the show in the past couple weeks. Lots of rumors around Edge. He did show up tonight, Mouth. He did show up at number 21.
Yes.
I mean, did it surprise you?
Yes. I mean, there had been talk that he would be part of it, but I honestly did not really think that he would be, and I certainly did not think he would play the part he played in tonight's show. I was completely surprised. You know, when a guy retires from an injury and 9 years later comes back, I thought he's going to be super protected, he's going to be in quick, and he's going to be out, and he was a major factor in the match.
The major factor didn't surprise me. What did surprise me is he came in at number 21 as opposed to a little bit later.
Right, like 28 or 29 something.
Yeah, I think he was 29 when he had that amazing comeback the year that he just surprised everybody. I thought they might recreate that, but instead bringing him in at that number, I kind of found that there was a little bit of a lag in him being in there before he did get that highlight at the end where you do, I mean, is it the Battle of the Spears? Is that that's where we're headed here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's left a lot of questions open. It certainly, to me, from what they did tonight, it doesn't look like this is a one and done.
No.
This looks like something else is happening. He must be doing something at Mania.
Yep.
There's got to be stuff down the road because this was just not an in and out like Santina.
Yeah, well, Santina did show up tonight as well. Bartender Dave predicting that on our show last night.
He got it right.
Oh, my goodness. I told him I'd play that clip. We'll hear it a little bit later in the show. First up, though, we're going to do our recap, but we are fortunate enough to be joined by one of our listeners tonight who was actually at the event. So let's go to Marvin. He was there tonight. Marvin, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thanks for calling in. Did you just rip out of the arena, get in your car, and give us a call?
Yeah. We're out here sitting in the parking lot waiting to get out. We're going to be stuck in traffic, so.
All right. Well, listen, I hope you do eventually get out of there. I know these events can be crazy. What did you think, though, tonight? What was the live experience like?
It was great, man. The two Rumble matches, we were on our feet the whole time pretty much, counting down and everything, getting ready for everyone to come out. And the crowd went absolutely banana, as Pat Patterson would say, when Edge came out.
Yeah, that's definitely a highlight, and I'm sure everybody at home did as well. What were the other things that stuck out as far as the live crowd went and people really popped for and maybe were surprised at?
I mean, the women's match, we were a little surprised that Sasha wasn't there. I don't know if you guys know anything about that.
No, haven't heard that. I was kind of surprised as well that we didn't see her tonight.
Yeah.
And we were just, you know, a little surprised Charlotte won. We were expecting Ronda, too, to come out, but that obviously didn't happen.
Were you happy to were you happy you didn't have to sit through the red light during the Fiend match?
Oh, my God. I was so happy there was no red light because the red light is the most annoying thing. So I was happy there was no red light.
And finally, Marvin, before we let you go, did anything transpire afterwards? They got off the air very quick after Drew McIntyre won. Was there anything else, or was it just music and McIntyre walking to the back?
Pretty much Roman Reigns heading to the back, kind of like looking sad and stuff like that, and then Drew McIntyre slapping everyone's hands, and then that was it.
You know what? As you mentioned Roman Reigns, I want to ask you about that. From my perspective, listening to the show tonight, it seemed like people were booing him pretty heavy. How was it there live?
Oh, yeah, they were booing him heavy because they wanted Edge to win or they wanted McIntyre. But anyway, they didn't really want Roman Reigns to win.
Well, I think that's definitely a part of the Rumble ever since he did win that one over Daniel Bryan. Thank you very much for the call, Marvin. Good luck getting out of the parking lot, pal. Always love to hear from the live calls after. All right, Mouth, let's run it down. You're listening to Sunday night's main event, running down the Royal Rumble tonight. Going to invite your calls after we get through this at 1-866-729-2562. You can hang out on hold if you like or give us a call in just a little bit, but let's start it. It was a long one tonight. Started at 5 o'clock. Honestly, there's no need for a two-hour pre-show.
Well, especially since the matches they also put on it are of no consequence, right? Yeah,
Sheamus versus Shorty G. Sheamus winning this one. Chad Gable can't catch a break in WWE, it seems. I don't think there's much to say about that.
No, Sheamus won with the brogue kick, as you'd expect.
And then, oh, by the way, Tom Phillips on commentary here on the pre-show and on the main show tonight for certain matches. I'm not sure. Did Vic Joseph lose his job?
I don't know what the status is of Vic, but I will say I did not miss him.
I liked Tom Phillips night as well over Mauro Ranallo. Tom is an underrated guy.
I thought him and Nigel did an awesome job last night.
He's doing a really good job. All right, then the U.S. title match was second here, number two on the pre-show. It's very strange, Mouth, when you watch a ladder match on Raw and that builds to a normal match on a pay-per-view.
Exactly. It's anticlimactic.
Yeah, this is not good.
It's really kind of backwards. Yeah, Andrade against Carrillo here, Humberto.
Humberto loses again.
Yeah, there wasn't much to this one. Humberto did do a cool Hurricane Rana off the top, and Andrade just won with a quick roll-up. Again, kind of anticlimactic, so... There you go.
R-Truth comes out confused about the Rumble. He's trying to enter then, but he did pull out, and they left it that way because we did get some surprises, and he freed up a spot. Charlotte does an interview, and then we watched...
Kofi did his promo after
Kofi
Charlotte.
Kofi did his promo. There you go.
Yeah, he just said he wanted the one-way ticket to WrestleMania, and he didn't know when he was going in. They asked what number he had. He said he didn't know.
That's right. Yeah, that's strange that he doesn't know. So we then go to the Royal Rumble, and the Falls Count Anywhere match leads us off. Baron Corbin versus Roman Reigns. Listen, I know these guys have to work twice tonight, but this wasn't an ideal way to start the show.
I didn't
taking
think so.
Everything out of the ring to a match that we've seen many times and two guys that the crowd really wasn't excited to see.
Yeah, usually the opening match is very important in a live setting because you want the crowd to get off on a good foot and you want to give them something that gets them excited and energized. And I agree, this was not the match to start with. And it was not a great match either because it's Falls Count Anywhere, so it's all over the arena. I'm sure half the people there couldn't even see what was going on most of the time. And, you know, it was just the typical stuff, you know, smashing through the announce tables. They even got into fighting in the porta potties, which got the holy you-know-what chant going.
Yeah, yeah.
While they fought. And he actually put Corbin in a porta potty and... Yeah, he gave Corbin a spear on top of one of the dugouts, and he pinned him. I just thought it was really kind of boring, and we've seen it a million times. And we don't. Myself personally, I don't want to see these guys. And I'm not interested in either guy.
Really, they missed a big spot here with doing a hardcore match. They're in Houston. They're in the same place the Houston Astros, who were just caught for cheating,
yes,
for banging a garbage can. Like, that's how they. One of the many ways that they told the batters what pitch was coming. The fact that nobody walked out there, smacked a garbage can. Mm. You know, even Roman could have hit Corbin with a garbage
right.
can, and Corey could have said something like, he's cheating, but that's expected here in Houston.
Right.
You know, something like that. I thought they really missed an opportunity, and they love those sports things normally.
Usually they would like to take those little digs, yeah.
Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe are doing an interview backstage. KO says Houston has been a good place for him. He's won titles there. Joe says he has different ideas for tonight. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville with Kayla. Sonya says she will not throw Mandy over the top. She'll toss herself out. Mandy says nothing, just looks out into the darkness.
Yes, yes.
Cole mentions Kobe Bryant, and they do a graphic in regards to that tragedy, and then they go to black after that. And then Tom Phillips, Corey Graves, Jerry Lawler are your... commentary team for the Women's Royal Rumble. And are we allowed to call it the Women's Royal Rumble, or is it just Royal Rumble number one?
After changing
the titles and no longer saying women's for the titles.
I think we can call it the Women's Rumble match. I don't think anyone's going to get upset.
And here we go into the Women's Royal Rumble. Alexa Bliss was your first competitor, and then Bianca Belair is number two, and they decided to attach a rocket to Bianca's back tonight and
yes.
make her a star, Mouth.
Yes, they did indeed. She did really, really well in this. And we saw some nice surprises. Number three was Molly Holly in her superhero gimmick with the cape on and everything. Number four was Nikki Cross. Number five was Lana, who cut a promo on the way to the ring. Number six was Mercedes Martinez,
Martinez.
I thought I was glad to see her in here, A, because I've seen her. She's such a great performer, and she has real potential. But they didn't really.
Well, the crowd really didn't know
that.
Who she was. I mean, they left her in there for a while.
Yeah, but you know what, Jay? If they had left her in a while longer, they would know.
They did leave her in a while. They did. Liv Morton comes in next. She looks like a dominatrix, and her and Lana eliminate each other, which I think was the best for everyone involved.
Yeah, exactly. Just get them out of there. Mandy Rose was in next, and then Candice LeRae was back. She was in again, and then Belair eliminated Molly, and then Alexi eliminates Mandy, but she landed on Otis.
Yeah.
This was actually a pretty funny spot.
Great spot.
It's like all of a sudden Otis is lying outside the ring and she lands on top of him. So she's saved. She's back in. Sonya Deville came out after that. And then this was where Fire and Desire eliminated Mercedes at this point. So honestly, that's not a long time in my eyes.
Well, I also say, Mouth, at this point, we're 10 in and this... Royal Rumble was very sluggish up to this point. The highlight by far for me was that Otis spot, and everything else, other than perhaps seeing Belair stay in there and look a little bit dominant, generally I found the first third of the match rather slow, but then it did pick up.
Right. Number 11 was Kairi Sane. Number 12 was Mia Yim. And then we had Nikki got eliminated by Bianca. Again, there. Otis caught Mandy one more time, and then Bianca knocked Sonya off onto both of them, and he dropped her, and then they're both out.
Yeah, so Sonya and Mandy, the credit for both of those elimination goes to Bianca Belair, who really had an impressive night up to this point.
Yeah, and I liked this because it had some actual storytelling to it. You know, we had some stuff can come out of what happened with that spot there. Number 13 with Dana Brooke. And then Bianca tossed Candice out. That was her fifth elimination. Sane eliminated by Alexa after that. Number 14 was Tamina, who was quickly eliminated by Bianca. Number 15 was Dakota Kai. Alexa eliminated Mia Yim at this point.
I got to say, before you move along, though, I was surprised at Dakota Kai there because they also kept her away from Tegan Nox. And if you're going to put Dakota Kai in, they had just had a brawl last night
on
Worlds Collide at ringside.
Right.
So why not push that along?
I agree. Have
them eliminate each other. It didn't make sense to have either one of these women in there if they weren't going to push their angle forward.
But maybe because the angle is going to take place on NXT rather than here, they felt...
Yeah, but Mouth, come on. I mean, all you have to do is show a clip.
Dude, I'm not arguing with you. I agree with you. I think it would have been a great place to continue the angle, but I'm thinking their thinking might have been we want to keep it separate from the main roster.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, Jay, hello.
I know what we're talking about, WWE.
Hello,
I understand.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, so number 16 was Chelsea Green.
Yep.
And she dumps Dakota Kai right away. And then Alexa eliminated Chelsea, eliminated her, basically. Bianca eliminated Dana Brooke. Bianca eliminated Bliss at this point, because it had been Alexa and Bianca to start. So Bliss was in for actually quite a long time. Number 17 was Charlotte.
Yeah, but hold on. I mean, part of the magic here, Mouse, was the fact that it got right back to the two women that started without anyone else in the match.
Yes.
And then you had Bianca in the ring, and that, it's like, it was almost like a new Rumble started here as Charlotte Flair came in, and this was her run. And there was this, to me, this was actually the turning point.
Right.
The second half
you
of this Rumble,
part better,
I thought was very well put together for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as I said, 17 was Charlotte. 18 was Naomi with her new afro. She looked pretty crazy in her outfit. Number 19 was Beth Phoenix, who actually did pretty amazing in this. Number 20 was Toni Storm, again from NXT. And then Charlotte eliminated Bianca, who had been in it for 33 minutes at that point. So she really did get a good push out of this.
She also set a new record for eliminations.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Yeah, so
that's
set a new record. That's a very impactful debut
for her,
Bianca Belair,
she,
as far as taking part in the Rumble here.
They gave her a good chance in this. Number 21 was my favorite, Kelly.
She was back.
You know she's going to be back for this. 22, Sarah Logan.
Oh, but Mouth, you missed the fact that when Kelly came in, we dipped right back to the Divas era because she did the head scissors that went on forever, followed by a stink face to Toni Storm.
I didn't really want to go into details.
Oh, my goodness. Just dipping right on back and really, to me, showed how out of place she is in the current WWE women's division.
Oh, for sure. Dude, she was out of place when she was there before.
That's true, but at least she ran the ropes for you. Pal.
My favorite spot. 22 was Sarah Logan, who was quickly taken out by Charlotte. And then Kelly was also eliminated by Charlotte. Number 23 was Natty. Number 24 was... Oh, I missed number 24. Who was number 24?
Oh, number 24? Number 24 was Xia Li. So really, you didn't miss anything.
That's right. I didn't.
Then Zelina Vega. And then
Shotzi Blackheart. Yep.
And this played out very well. We'll get to it in a sec, though.
Yep. Naomi got to do the Kofi spot in this one, and she did a jump, and she actually caught the barrier kind of around the crowd there without touching the floor, so she was still in there. 27 was Carmella, and then Naomi stayed on the barrier and made her way over to the announcer's desk, and then she just kind of stood on the announcer's desk for a while.
She waited for a while.
Yeah. Charlotte got tossed out, but she went through the middle rope, so she was okay there. 28 was Tegan Nox. 29, I'll let Jay do, because this was one of Jay's highlights of the night.
Actually, not as much as I thought it could be. Santino Marella comes out. He came out to the old Billy and Chuck theme, if you didn't realize what that was. An immediate confrontation with Beth, which is cool, because of course they were Glamorella together.
That's right.
And they did also reflect upon the fact that Santino was the one who threw Beth out, and she lost the Divas Battle Royal at WrestleMania, and he became Miss WrestleMania in that role. But they had Natty and Beth look at him, and then he pulled out the Cobra, and then he just eliminated himself. I didn't like that. I thought the women should have forcibly taken him out and thrown him out. He should have bumped.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, I see that's the cowardly thing for the character, but I agree. What would have been wrong with the two of them just grabbing him and throwing him over the top?
Do the heart attack with him.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, that would have been really fun. It's a classic move, and they did, I can't remember who they did it to, but they did it in this match.
Yes.
And it was a nice throwback. I love seeing them do that. Doing it to Santino and then throwing him over the top. Maybe they pull his dress off or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, there could have been a little bit more to it than what we got.
I would have just liked to have seen them throw him out rather than him eliminate himself. I thought, even for a comedy thing, I thought that was kind of silly. So number 30 ended up being Shayna Baszler, and she quickly eliminates a whole bunch of people. Tegan Nox, she takes out Lee. She had Zelina Vega in a headlock, and then Shotzi tried to push her over, but Shayna Baszler sent her over instead.
Yeah, that was a great throwback, because that is exactly the opposite of what happened on NXT a couple weeks ago in the Battle Royal, where Shotzi Blackheart eliminated her. I think Blackheart, that whole thing, I think it now traces back to them doing that on NXT and then having that angle recreated here, and I thought it was a really nice way of booking this together and having Shayna look great and getting, maybe not getting her win back because she already did a pin Shotzi, but she got her Royal Rumble or Battle Royal style win back. I like this a lot.
And then Baszler also eliminated Naomi at this point, and then Beth tossed out
Tony and Carmella as well, don't forget.
Oh, did she?
Yep. She eliminated Carmella. That she happened. Eliminated Tony.
You know what happened so fast? I missed those.
She went on a rampage.
Yeah, she did, which is good, which is what you want. Absolutely. Beth tossed out Natty. Those two kind of turned on each other. That left Baszler and Charlotte and Beth. And then Baszler eliminates Beth. And then Charlotte eliminates Baszler and wins the match. So we have Charlotte winning the Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and that's, I don't think it's necessarily a surprise. I think the favorite was Shayna Baszler to win tonight surprise. But Charlotte, you know that she's out there. She's very prominent. She declared she was going to be in it and she was going to have a good showing. And she did.
And this, I thought this was good to give people a look at Baszler before she makes her move up to the main roster and stuff like that. Like, I thought this is good because when she does come up, they'll go, oh yeah, she was the one in the Rumble that did really good.
Still an elimination chamber to be had. Maybe there's a women's elimination chamber this year, and maybe that's where Baszler wins.
Right.
I still do believe the best matchup is not necessarily Charlotte versus Becky. I think the best matchup for Becky is Shayna Baszler, perhaps with Ronda in her corner to get that star power there.
Interesting. And then Ronda doesn't have to do an actual match.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So Charlotte's in the ring after this. She says she's been a diamond cut to last. Tonight she's reminded everyone that this is her division.
Yes.
And as we mentioned, Belair and Baszler both tied the record for 8 eliminations. It looked like the longest in was Bianca Belair at 31 minutes. You know who wasn't here, though? Nia Jax was not here. Ruby Riott was not here. The Iconics?
Wow.
We're not here? If you're the Iconics, imagine this.
Santina took the place of the Iconics.
Santina and Kelly Kelly took the place of the Iconics.
There you go.
Kelly Kelly was rated higher at a higher work rate than you, Peyton and Billy.
Yeah, really.
Imagine sitting backstage and having that happened to you, and how sad that would make you. But I was very surprised at no Nia Jax tonight, Mount.
Yes, well, I don't know if she's not ready to come back yet or what's going on, but I was surprised, too. I thought her rather than Tamina.
No, I think if you're going to bring Jax back, though, she needs to be in the Bianca Belair spot where she's throwing
out
12
people.
I guess they chose Belair as their monster tonight.
There you go.
Corbin is with Kayla backstage, says Roman made a mockery of the match and accuses of bringing out a whole bunch of stooges, and that'll change as far as the Rumble goes. The SmackDown Women's Championship is next. Bayley is your champion versus,
Lacey Evans.
I wrote Charlotte here, and
no,
that's because of the other blonde.
Lacey Evans.
Yeah, Lacey Evans. This was, to me, Mouth, though, just a terrible position for these women to be in. You've just seen an hour's worth of women's wrestling and some really fun moments. You have the advantage of the Royal Rumble scenario that everyone waits for on this event, and you've put these two women who do not have the peak feud tonight in the women's division, because you got to say that that's more so Asuka and Becky.
Right.
And you've put them here. I thought they were set up to fail in this match.
Yeah, it was not a good spot. That's for sure. I agree with you. After watching a giant women's match, it should have been something different in this place. And the crowd was tired too, because the crowd really enjoyed the women's rumble, as Martin said there on the phone. So I think the crowd was kind of burned out for this match as well. The finish was Lacey trying for a moonsault and Bayley got her knees up and rolled her over and held the trunks and pinned her. So Bayley wins.
I'm thinking that what they may be doing here, there is a definite change in the character of Lacey Evans, more
Big
so
time.
To babyface, more so to clean cut southern babyface, mom and Navy, officer.
We're
going to
keep seeing her
Marine,
daughter.
Sorry.
They showed, she was in the Marines. They showed her daughter at ringside at least 5 or 6 times. So
yeah, and her daughter's in the new commercial too
exactly.
with her.
Exactly. That's going to be a big push. So it's obviously they're giving her the babyface push. So they need to, the only thing they need to do, Jay and I were talking about this, they got to play with her wardrobe a little bit and not make her quite look like the Southern Belle as much anymore.
I think she's got to drop a lot of that Southern stuff.
Do.
She's got a bit of the accent, but not go over the top with it.
White gloves,
get rid of that.
Go.
The veils, get rid of that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
here's what we're going to do. We're coming up to the top of the hour here. This is obviously a long card. We're not going to rush through it in 4 minutes. Jeremy, let's take a break. Then what we're going to do is come back and talk about this wonderful strap match that at least had no red light.
We got to see all colors, not just red.
We are going to take a break and come on back. We're going to get into your phone calls in a bit as well. You're listening to a live version of Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery, brewed for you, Ontario.
And the man of the claw once again.
The Fiend didn't budge as he was getting lashed by Brian. And Brian again still trying to fight out with the man of the claw locked in. The Fiend going to play it, Brian. Shoulders are down, and the Fiend retains the Universal title.
A strap match is what we had. The Fiend and Daniel Bryan tonight. Welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it live on TSN Radio tonight. Jason Agnew and Dan Lavransky here with you. Mouth, they at least gave justification to the fact that there was a strap match.
Yes.
And they didn't do the strap match in the weird, silly way where
no,
you had to touch the corners.
Right. That's right.
That's good, Mouth. Don't be disappointed by that.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't disappointed. A little bit surprised. I'm so old school that to me that's a strap match, right? But I don't have a problem with them not doing it. It was always so they could do that convoluted ending, right?
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. There's no red light here, which was fantastic.
Awesome. Yes.
I mean, take us through this one, Mouth. I was dealing with a couple things when this was happening. Well, of course, it is a Bray Wyatt match, so people disconnect when they get in the ring.
Well, they did. I mean, when Brian came out, the crowd was totally pumped. He led them in a huge yes chant, had the whole audience doing the yes chant. Basically, it started off with the Fiend just whipping the crap out of Brian with the strap. He did some crazy dives off the top to the floor. He did give the Fiend a DDT on the announcer's table at one point. He did have the upper hand for a lot of this, but the Fiend did actually win with the man. Claw, and then it went dark after the match, and then the lights came back on, and he was gone after he won the match. He just took it, and they took their time getting Brian out of the ring,
yeah,
which I thought was very interesting. You could see his back, man. He had some major marks on his back from all the shots from the strap. He even collapsed on the ramp, so I'm not sure if they're working some storyline with this, but they did seem to take a long time to get him out of there.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this is just the end of this, finally. Mm-hmm. I mean, it hasn't been a successful feud. I don't think anyone's really enjoyed it all that much. So I'm kind of curious as to what is next for Bray Wyatt. I mean, he does hold the championship. He will be defending it at WrestleMania. And where do you go? Is it the potential disaster of Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt? Because now if you look at, we'll get to it, but you know, Drew McIntyre winning means that's your Lesnar feud.
Yes,
so
yes.
As of right now, I think the Elimination Chamber might decide who is going up against the Fiend.
I don't know if that's a match anybody would want to see.
The Raw Women's Championship, Asuka comes out with Kairi Sane versus Becky Lynch, who was, of course, your champion going in. You know, this is where it really dawned on me, Mouth, that every other match on a Royal Rumble card falls victim to the fact that it is not the Royal Rumble.
It's hard. You know, it's very hard on this show when you have something so, it's such a specialist match. We only see it once a year. And plus, I mean, people like yourself, this is your favorite
show. Favorite.
Yeah, this is, and a lot of people are the same way. They really enjoy the Rumble. And think about it this way. We always talk about, 1992, Flair won the title. Tell me another match on that card.
No, I have no idea.
That's my point.
All the moments of the Royal Rumble
that's
are the
I'm
Royal
thinking.
Rumble. Cena coming back, Edge coming back,
think
Kane
about
and Honky Tonk.
Think about any one where you
smash.
really enjoyed it. Tell me one other match.
Vince McMahon blowing out his quads.
That's it. Like, that's the thing. But I bet you nobody out there, without looking it up, can tell me a match that was on any of those shows. So it is hard. It's always been hard.
Here's what we got going on here in this match. There was a crazy spot that these two did on the apron. Where Becky kind of puts Asuka up for a suplex and then just drops her off the apron
straight
onto her face on the floor.
Yeah. They did a lot of stuff tied up in the ropes and on the apron early on in this one. There was one point where Becky looked like she got knocked out by a kick, but the ref checks, but she's not done at all. It seemed almost like what happened with Wolf in the NXT match tonight before, except this wasn't. His was legit.
Okay, so if you're going to do this, to me, this really threw things off, and it took me completely out of the match, because apparently Asuka hits Becky with a kick. The ref is checking on Becky. Why is he checking on Becky and not allowing Asuka to pin her? This was clearly a choreographed move.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Asuka kicks her again, and she's okay, and then Asuka goes to pin her, and she kicks out.
Yeah.
It was completely ridiculous, and it was a stupid move set to put into the middle of the match. It made no sense for the psychology of the match itself.
Yeah. And the finish, Asuka went to use the mist, but Becky kicked her in the fist or in the face, and the mist went flying all over the place and all over Asuka's face, so she couldn't use it, which was nice. I like to see the mist not get used every once in a while. And then Becky got the disarmer, and she tapped out. So.
After that, Montez Ford is hyping the show, and Angelo Dawkins is doing his best Michael Winslow impression.
It was bad.
Booker T is announced as your guest announcer, and then Colin Graves announced that Rusev and Lashley got into a confrontation earlier today and will not be in the Rumble. I guess they needed Rumble spots.
No footage of this. Nope. It was backstage. Usually those cameras are just all over the backstage area. No footage, nothing. So obviously at the last minute, somebody went,
We've got 32 people in the Rumble.
We've got 35 guys. Well, it was more than that because Otis and Tucker were said to be in it. Neither of them were in it. There was a couple others, like about five people that had been announced weren't actually in it. So, they obviously were doing some adding up backstage and realized they had too many guys.
Brock Lesnar is number one. We knew that. Elias is number two. He comes out and sings, of course. Lesnar then runs out of the ring, down the ramp, throws him into the ring, hits him with the guitar, and throws him out of the ring. Elias is out. And this pattern is repeated over and over again. And I think we're going to get a real love and hate relationship from feedback for this. But you and I fell on the same side.
You know
and
what?
Very much
I
enjoyed something
it.
Different.
That's bang. That's it, right? There. That's it. To me, it was something different. I really enjoyed it. No matter if you're tired of Brock or not, I enjoyed it. Eric Rowan was third. He got tossed right away. Robert Roode got an F5. He was next. He got tossed right away. Now, this was not good. John Morrison was number five and got tossed out in 9 seconds. What is up with this? They bring him back. They make him wear the exact same stuff. They give him that same lame-ass Jimi Hendrix rip-off music. And he's with The Miz.
I talked about this on the show two weeks ago. It doesn't make sense.
I do not understand this at all. He'd really done some great stuff while he was gone. He's a much better performer now. He should not even be connected to The Miz in any way. Mm-hmm. And they just buried him here as well. Number six was Kofi Kingston.
This is great. All of this is pretty good spot.
And then Rey Mysterio was in next at number seven. And then Big E was in at number eight. So these three, they just kind of go nuts on Brock. But then Brock eliminates Rey and Big E and Kofi. And Kofi didn't get to do his spot.
Hey, you want to get Lesnar over as a heel? You take away something the fans love. And they love that Kofi spot. And it's been getting a little bit old anyway.
Yeah.
So you gave it to Naomi. And Naomi's done one before as well. But no Kofi spot. Everyone noticed that.
Yeah, and again, because of what it did and the story it told, I didn't have a problem with it. I was fine with it. Cesaro was number nine. He was out in seconds as well. Shelton Benjamin was number 10. And, of course, they played up on the relationship with the two of them, how they were both in amateur wrestling. He comes out. He even embraces Brock. They're acting like they're nice guys and they're friends and buddies. And then Brock just tossed him out right away. Shinsuke Nakamura was in next. He was eliminated right away. MVP, Jay. MVP was in next, and we had heard that they were showing his video.
This arena did leak, right? So people knew a little bit about this.
So
apparently he's been hiding in Wakanda from what we can tell from his
outfit. He looked totally like
cool.
The Black Panther,
but
he got tossed out pretty well instantly as well.
And then?
Yes. Then at this point, things start to change a little bit. Keith Lee came out at number 13, which was great. I wanted to see him in this. Braun Strowman was out at number 14, but then Brock eliminated both of them as they were fighting each other.
He
took them and flipped them over. Too quick for Keith Lee, for sure, I think.
Yes.
I would have liked to seen him go on a lot better because I think he's really starting to catch on in NXT now and people are starting to appreciate what he does.
Survivor Series was very much a turning point for Keith Lee, mm-hmm. I think, in the eyes of WWE bookers.
Yeah. Number 15 was Ricochet. Number 16 was Drew McIntyre. And then Ricochet gave Lesnar a low blow, and then Drew gave him the Claymore kick, and he tossed Brock Lesnar out.
Yep.
So we got the big toss of Brock. He was in there for a long time, but then he got tossed out by Drew McIntyre. And then McIntyre also eliminated Ricochet. Miz was
Did
it.
He ever?
Yes, yeah.
He threw Ricochet.
That was the thing tonight. A lot of the eliminations were not what I would call safe eliminations.
Ooh,
they were nasty. That one was particularly nasty because Ricochet couldn't really control his fall at all.
No.
Number 17 was Miz, who was quickly eliminated by Drew as well. Number 18 was AJ Styles. Number 19 was Dolph Ziggler. Number 20 was Carl Anderson. Number 21, Edge.
And they blew the budget on his pyro.
Oh, yeah. He got great, huge pop,
of
though.
Course.
Amazingly great pop. And he came in and he speared them all. He speared all three of them. Number 22 was Baron Corbin. And then after that, AJ was eliminated by Edge. So AJ Styles was not in for very long, but he was tossed out by Edge. So I don't know if that leads to something down the line.
And then the worst moment of the Royal Rumble.
This was not good. This
I
was
didn't
not
care
good.
For this at all.
No, I didn't.
You thought
either.
Keith Lee was bad.
Well, that's
this
the,
was
that,
horrendous.
That's the thing. And please, like, I mean, look, if you've got guys with major potential and you want to make something of it, I've never understood why they do stuff like this. But number 23 was Matt Riddle, and he came down and Baron Corbin threw him out almost instantly. He threw off the flip-flops,
yep.
And that was it. He was out of there. So that was very perplexing. Matt Riddle's a great talent, and he should not be wasted like that. Why bother? Put Tucker or Otis in there if you don't want. Rusev or Lashley. Could have let them stay in there if that's what you're going to do. Number 24 was Luke Gallows. And then after that, McIntyre finally eliminates Baron Corbin. Number 25 is Randy Orton. Orton and Edge together, they eliminate Gallows and Anderson. We did have a bit of a rated RKO reunion here. Number 26 was Roman Reigns, who quickly eliminates Dolph Ziggler. Number 27 was Kevin Owens. Number 28 was Aleister Black. Number 29 was Samoa Joe. And number 30 was Seth Rollins, who came down with his entourage. So he had Buddy
his
Murphy.
His apostles.
Yes, and he had the Authors of Pain with him as well. They went kind of wild on everyone, but they didn't eliminate anybody.
I hated this, though, Mouth,
yeah.
Because they pulled people out of the ring, and it was very difficult to keep track of
right.
who was in and who was out. And it's just chaos just ensued here. And up to this point, I was very much enjoying the Rumble. And I'm not saying it made it bad,
no,
but
I mean,
it did allow Seth to stay in there and cheat. I guess it did, in the end, tell a story.
Yeah, that's... I didn't mind it because of the fact that they didn't eliminate anybody. They just
oh,
pulled
they did,
everybody.
Though. No, because they eliminated Owens.
Not at that point, though.
Okay.
Not at that point. Because that comes later on. Because Seth tosses out Aleister Black first.
Yes.
And then Owens does toss... Owens tossed Seth, but the Authors of Pain caught him.
Great spot.
And then Seth eliminated Owens after that.
Yeah.
Rollins eliminates Joe at this point.
Yeah.
So it's down to Edge, Rollins, McIntyre, Reigns, and Orton.
And all the apostles go to the back at this point.
That's right.
And then you get these four teaming
That's
up
right.
on Seth and eliminating him. So, I mean, I did like this aspect of it, where he's nothing without his apostles.
Right. See, and it's good. That's classic heel.
Yeah. Right?
That's classic heel. They all beat on Rollins. McIntyre throws him out. Edge eliminates Orton, and then Reigns eliminates Edge, and then McIntyre eliminates Reigns to win it. So there you go. Drew McIntyre gets the shot at whichever one he wants. I'm assuming it'll be Lesnar.
Lesnar. They're definitely building that
yeah.
on up. So that is our recap of the show. I'm generally thinking for the two Rumbles, thumbs up.
Yes.
Well-booked Rumbles
yes.
tonight. Everything else on the card, who cares?
That's the thing. It's not in the big picture, it means nothing, but I was very happy, especially with the men's Rumble, because they did a lot of different things. It wasn't a lot of the same old stuff, and even Seth in the entourage, it was different. I liked it.
1-866-729-2562. We're going to do a segment of calls when we come back. We are live tonight on TSN Radio, of course. We are talking the Royal Rumble, the greatest night each year in wrestling, according to me. We'll be back. Give us your phone calls now right here, Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Thanks for finding Sunday Night's Main Event. To get the complete show, as well as bonus weekly podcasts, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
Very few men have won more than one. Roman Reigns looking to join the elite here tonight.
Wow, there's a lot of power by...
Claymore by McIntyre! McIntyre! Drew McIntyre's going to WrestleMania!
WrestleMania. You know that you're trying to get someone over as a babyface when the last elimination is one Roman Reigns in the Royal Rumble. Because a hurdle that they had to get over, though, actually set that up very nice, because even if Roman had come out and was cheered as a babyface, and I'm not saying that was going to happen, but even if it had been, Roman eliminating Edge guarantees the fans are mad at Roman at the time that McIntyre eliminates him, therefore putting McIntyre over as a babyface, and they're going to forget the fact that Edge didn't win.
Yep. No,
it was well done.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the booking of the men's rumble was done very well, and it creates some interesting issues and things that come out of it.
Let's get to some telephones. Here we are live tonight. 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. And our first caller, I don't know what time it is there, but Paul is calling from the UK. What's it got to be, like 6 in the morning, Paul?
It is. Quarter past five.
We're happy to be your morning show for you. So what'd you think tonight, Paul?
I am wired. I drank so much coffee during the night while watching the Rumble. It's unbelievable.
What'd you think?
No, I wanted to mention a couple of things. I'm going to try and make it short and sweet because I've got a train to catch. Basically, I want to talk about the greatest surprise of tonight, which was the return of Santino.
Yes, of course.
I always love Santino. He's always going to be one of my favorites. Can we talk about the Women's Royal Rumble, the booking of it? Right. I messaged this to you earlier on in the night. What match involving Charlotte Flair at Mania is interesting?
The only one I could see with any potential, and I was saying this to Mouth, is if she assists in the babyface turn of Lacey Evans.
I don't know.
If she's playing the heel, she's a very strong heel. If you want to get Lacey Evans over as a babyface, you got to put her up against a strong heel. And to me, that would be Charlotte Flair. But if she's going for a title, that means Lacey's got to have it already, or Charlotte beats Bailey, and then Charlotte loses it at Mania. So it is a complicated booking scenario, and I agree with you. I don't think that Becky and Charlotte is a really great match to throw there. I want to see Becky versus Shayna.
Yeah, I wanted to see that as well. The other thing I was going to make, with the men's rumble, the one match that I could see happening from what happened during the rumble tonight, with obviously Edge's return, I think you teased it just to see if to see how it would gauge with the audience, was Edge versus AJ.
Edge versus AJ. Yeah, you know, thanks for the call, Paul. We're going to let you go because obviously it's long distance and it's very late. So Edge versus AJ. I mean, you said to me, Mouth, during the show, you're like, I'd pay to see that match,
would.
I believe is what you said.
I would.
Like that match.
No?
No, I'm not interested in Edge and AJ. Honestly, I would actually be interested in Edge and Roman in the Battle of the Spears.
But
I want Edge to go over, and that's probably not the right thing.
Yeah, well, see, that's the tough part. Whereas with AJ, you could put Edge over.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt. It's not going to hurt AJ. I just feel, again, we'll talk to Dave about this, but I want to know what state Edge is in. I want him, if he's going to have a match, I want him to be in there with someone that's going to protect him. And AJ would be a guy that could get a good match out of him and also protect him at the same time. I don't think that would happen with Roman.
Those are the two angles that they really did tease tonight, though. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at, you had him throw at AJ, and then along with that, you had Roman eliminate him.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bit of a tease with Orton, but Orton just kind of, he gave him the hand and said, like, whatever, buddy, and walked away. So I'm hoping that is dismissed because I don't want to see that.
No, I don't think anybody wants to see that, no.
All right, let's continue on here. We are going to go to Hansy. Hansy, how are you, pal?
What's going on, guys? Sorry, hold on a second. About that? Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's
okay.
Okay.
I just want to say that, first of all, Eggman, I apologize for not coming down to Rumble Strikes. I had an emergency, so I apologize for not coming.
No problem, buddy. We're going to be doing Strikes of Mania the Friday before Mania. We're back on the Friday. But what'd you think of tonight's Rumble show?
I enjoyed the two Rumbles, and I enjoyed the two world title matches. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, at first with Brock Lesnar, I thought, like, okay, yo, he can't be running through every single person. But then at the same time, I didn't want the Cain Velasquez rumor to come true.
Right.
He was just going to be there for 1 minute just to get eliminated and set that up. So it was kind of cool seeing different people interact with Brock Lesnar. Like, I really did dig when Big E, Kofi, and Ray teamed up on him. I dig, dug when Keith Lee had a face-off with him. You know, MVP returned, Edge returned. So, like, it was kind of a cool moments thing where, like this is going to be highlighted in the next year, like some of the cooler moments in Royal Rumble history. And Charlotte, I didn't mind that she won. I know people didn't want her to win. I was only concerned because I don't want to see Becky and Charlotte.
Yeah.
So I was actually hoping that maybe Asuka and Charlotte would have fought at Mania, and Asuka gets her win back over Charlotte, and then you could have had Becky and Shayna doing a grudge match without the title or with her as Wanda. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just don't want to see Becky and Charlotte again. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
No, I think that you're right, and I think that we've had that already. You know, Paul didn't want to see that either, and I don't think a lot of fans... I think that'll be a really stale build. Thank you very much for the phone call, Hansi. But, you know, I don't... That's not the match to me, and I hope they're not going that way, Mal.
No. I think it's done. We've seen it. I don't think it's not new. It's not fresh. I really want to see Shayna Baszler involved somehow.
Yeah, me too. I mean, she's been such a strong character in NXT and had such a great run there, and
that's
moved up at the right time, I think.
They and doing it this way, I think, as well, rather than just having her be on the show and subjected to regular booking, putting her in a match where you can control how good she looks. And I thought they did really good with how she looked in this, and I think it's actually they should bring her up now right after this because she's hot coming. I think she'll be hot coming out of this match.
Tomorrow's honestly is the right night to bring her up because you're going to want her to choose a brand. I would say that, you know, what's interesting though is Charlotte is on the Raw brand, is not going over to SmackDown because Andrade is on the Raw brand.
Right,
they're staying together.
That's right.
So if that's the case, unfortunately, for the two callers who just called and for us who don't want this, it very much seems the direction is Charlotte and Becky.
Yeah.
We'll throw that one at Melt when we talk to him in the next segment. Before we talk to him, we're going to go to New Jersey because Paul is on the line from New Jersey to chat. Hello, Paul.
Uh-oh. This is not Paul. This is Rob.
Oh, we went to Rob from New Jersey. All right. Rob from New Jersey. Long time ago, Rob from New Jersey?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. All right. Well, welcome back, Rob. What do you got to say? I'll give you your time tonight because I remember your legendary calls.
I try not to be long, but I just try to get it all out there. I apologize.
No,
bro.
It's okay, anyway, man. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you guys, too. I just wanted to start off right off the bat with Molly Holly. I know people are, like, great about Edge, which by the way, was the biggest pop of the night. But I wanted to give a shout-out to Molly because I thought she did fantastic as well because we barely ever see her in the ring anymore.
Yeah, she looked good.
Yeah. Do you think she might have a run-in for the WWE Hall of Fame this year?
She could. I mean, they're going to put everybody in from that era. They always like to put a female in. Maybe it's Molly. Who knows?
Yeah, I was always a fan of her. I liked her. But anyways, personally for me, the flow of the show, up until after the Women's Royal Rumble for me, I don't know why, but I was probably the only one in this, but I just felt like it just felt very... I don't know, just very like low self-esteem. By the time we got to some of the finishes, they were okay. But then when we got to the women's championship match, I mean, again, there were a lot of great spots, particularly the ending I thought was fantastic. But as you said, yeah, I didn't understand that one move in the middle of the match that just didn't make any sense to me.
With the ref.
The one where
the ref. He's talking
about
the ref.
Yeah, I didn't like that one at all.
Awful.
It just made me puzzled.
Yeah, bad booking sequence. And, you know, once again, I mean, I think what you're saying is very similar to what we had mentioned, where every match is going to suffer on this show that is not a Rumble match.
Yeah, the flow for me, I felt like was getting under the skin. And then by the time we got to the Men's Royal Rumble, I was like, okay, now the crowd's going to pop. And then by the time we got to the Lesnar segment with the first 15, I thought that was uniquely done because at first I thought this was going to sink the joint out.
Uh-huh.
But then things happened, and I thought that was probably one of the greatest intros, let alone one of the greatest moments in the Rumble, just having one guy just maul everybody, make him into a monster. The only other thing, though, was that there was just, I don't know, there was just, for me, I thought this was a good Rumble. I didn't think it was, like, the greatest, but there was definitely a lot of great moments. I mean, we obviously knew that MVP was around.
Yeah.
We kind of knew, but we didn't know if Edge was going to be there because I didn't think Edge was going to actually show up.
Okay.
Like, I literally thought it was just going to be a troll job, but when he showed up, I actually had tears in my eyes because I was like, dude, this is a great moment.
It was, and the performance he put on was absolutely amazing, and I'm already keen to see what they do next with him. Like, I'm really,
now,
really curious.
Question, and that's kind of what my real question is right now. how will they use him? Because there were moments in the match where, if you remember when he got that deep six or that special move that Corbin did, he was literally holding his neck. Because I was thinking to myself, please don't land on your neck.
Yeah.
Don't land badly
on
your spine. Because, again, I don't know what his condition is, but my question for you is, how do you think they're going to book him going forward? Will they put him on a super show? Will they put him at Mania? Or was this a one and done?
I could see Mania.
Yeah, I think Mania as well. Thanks for the call, Rob. I think that there are plans for, Meltzer was reporting earlier that there are plans for Edge at Mania. He's coming up in the next segment. We will throw that into our questioning for him as well. But yeah, everything I've heard is Mania, and I don't think he'd come back for a one-off where he doesn't win the Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
What?
Well, that's it. And again, he did too much in the match for it to be a one-off.
Yeah.
He did too much. He was in too long. He did a lot of stuff. He interacted with people. Like you said, they set up almost two different things you could do with him. So he's not in for the cup of coffee. There's stuff is going
to
happen.
One more before we go to Dave. And it is going to be, we're big in New Jersey tonight, Mel.
All right.
Paul from New Jersey is on the line. I didn't want to leave him hanging there. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, guys. Doing good. Yeah, my big observation of the night was, look, I know you're in business with these people, but where were my trash can, microphone, and camera jokes?
Yes!
About
yes!
Nationals? What are they going to not invite you back if you make fun of them? Come on.
I agree with you completely, especially when you have Jerry Lawler and Corey Graves, especially Lawler, who's very tongue-in-cheek about it, and they love their jokes about sports teams, and they didn't go after it at all tonight.
Nope.
I was very disappointed with that. But one observation also I got to make, and I'll let you go, is that, look, when I look at both of these women's rosters, like the main rosters, I mean, depth-wise, they're trash, and it pains me to say that, but, like, one thing I learned tonight is, like, Bianca Belair is done with NXT. I think it's time to put her on SmackDown and make her a star.
Well, she's challenging for the NXT title next, so I don't necessarily know if that's the case. This might just be a bit of a primer before when we eventually do see her down the line. I do think, though, I mean, if you remember back, Bianca Belair did not have a very good match with Shayna Baszler when you put those two in the ring, and I know that is probably 6 months ago, if not more now. I don't know if she's progressed all that much. She's very strong. She has good spots. She did look good tonight.
I don't know
about her doing a 15-20 minute match. I'm curious to see what she does in this next match.
Well,
I just have to say one thing. I can't take any more Lacey Evans pay-per-view matches, so you got to put someone else in there.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah,
I think they got huge plans for her.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much for the call, Paul. Much appreciated. We have got to hit the bottom of the hour here. We're a little bit past when we come back. Dave Meltzer is going to join us, and we are going to chat about what the future is for Edge, because I'm reading something right now that says Edge has signed a 3-year deal.
Whoa!
We'll find out if it's true next when we come back. Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio.
Here in Canada, we have several regionally specific phrases that arise when said vernacular is considered appropriate, i.e., the funny-sounding term, shinny. Shinny is a game of ice hockey played without the standard head-to-toe body armor. Instead, only skates, gloves, a hockey stick, and preferably a helmet is worn. And, if you're Mike Lackey, GLB's brewmaster, you wear the same pair of shinny pants day in and day out from December until March. A common code of ethics is employed during a game of shinny. For example, raising the puck off the ice is strongly discouraged for fear of being struck in the shins or worse, elsewhere. However, the most common practice takes place off the sheet of ice. Mandatory post-shinny beverages with your team, and boy does Great Lakes Brewery have the beer for that. Shinny Pants Session Stout, a beer inspired by Mr. Lackey's well-worn and well-stained pants.
Aw, man, you spilled beer on my shinny pants, bud.
Shinny Pants Session Stout. Drink it fresh, please.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event. We're doing our live show after the WWE Royal Rumble tonight. And this gentleman that we are about to talk to must be very tired. He's fresh off the Chris Jericho cruise and then into a very busy weekend of watching a whole bunch of shows this weekend. Dave Meltzer, welcome back.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I think the bigger question is, how are you and how was this cruise?
The cruise was awesome. I'm fine. I'm good.
Did you check out anything outside of wrestling, Dave? Did you go see any of the bands or no?
Oh, yeah. I probably saw 4 concerts, 2 comedy shows, and pretty much most of the wrestling, yeah. There was so much stuff to do. I mean, it was never-ending. There was always 2 or 3 things going on. So, you know, I think I saw one of the talk shows as well. Yeah, I saw the Ric Flair talk show. So, yeah, there was just all kinds. There's all kinds of stuff going on, like 2 or 3 things at a time all day and all night past midnight. So it's
wow.
It was,
and you still,
I mean, it was incredible live.
And you still kept that cough the whole way through, though, Dave. Nice to see that. Listen, if you're doing that on the plane right about now, people are going to be looking at you weird, thinking you got the coronavirus. All right, so. Be careful.
Be careful.
All right, Dave, that's fantastic. For those of you who want coverage of the cruise, I very much enjoyed your interview with the ring announcer. Justin Roberts was fantastic. I just thought the inside look at behind the scenes of AEW was really enlightening. It was a great one.
Yeah, I thought that was good. We did an interview with Sammy Guevara that I found very, very entertaining. But, yeah, everybody was... Everybody was really in a good mood. I mean, it was, everybody was happy. The younger guys especially were on their first cruise.
All right, Dave, let's talk about the Rumble tonight, and hopefully you can make your way through this. The big story, of course, is the return of Edge. You had reported it yesterday that he was going to play a role tonight. He played a bigger role than I thought.
Yeah, me
and
too.
Looks to be sticking around. I've just read some sort of report here. There's news that he signed a 3-year deal. Is this accurate?
Wow. I did not know that, but it doesn't surprise me. I would think that if he could wrestle, that he would that they would definitely want to lock him down.
Yeah.
They certainly don't want him going anywhere else. It's just interesting that, you know, people do heal. But, you know, he was
yeah, that's the question.
His career was over like a decade ago, and now he's back.
Yeah, that's the question kind of, I have. Like, how does...
Interesting. You know, I mean... I can see a 3-year deal in the sense of that very thing, that they don't want him going anywhere else and probably will pay him a lot. But I don't know, you know, I don't know how much. It's hard to believe that he would do any kind of a full-time schedule at this stage of the game, but, you know, maybe he will.
I think he would probably be doing the Brock Lesnar-style schedule where we'll see him once in a while for big shows. You know,
That's what it should be.
I don't see him. He's not going to be a weekly fixture. Has this ever happened before, Dave, where someone's come back from a career-ending injury?
Daniel
almost
Bryan.
Who?
Daniel Bryan.
But still, this is like 10 years after the fact, though. To me, that's a long time.
There have been guys that has happened in the past where guys had what were thought to be career-ending injuries. You know, to an extent, Brett. You know, I mean, he really didn't come back, but he did some matches, although he was very limited in what he could do.
But, I mean...
But that was it was 2010, so that would have been, like, 11 years, right?
But what we saw...
11 years.
What we saw in tonight's Rumble match, though, was not limited. He was out there full tilt. He was taking spots.
When he hit that spear a couple months ago, obviously that told me that he probably was cleared, even though he claimed he wasn't, because they wouldn't let him do... They're pretty strict about... If guys aren't cleared, that they can't do anything. So that kind of told me that he probably really was cleared. So I think they've probably known about it for months.
All right, well, we see this performance tonight. Mouth and I have been talking about the fact there seemed to be a tease towards AJ Styles. And, of course, at the end, you had Roman Reigns eliminate Edge. The program at Mania, because it does look like he'll be working Mania. Do we know what it is? What do you think?
For Edge?
Yes.
I mean, it looked like, I don't know what it is. I sort of sensed Randy Orton. Maybe it could have been AJ, and AJ hurt his shoulder, and AJ did hurt his shoulder. So I don't know, and I don't know the severity of it yet, but, you know, it was significant. And, we'll see. I just sensed something maybe with Orton.
Do you think they would put him with Reigns? Because you have that kind of classic idea of the Battle of the Spears, both guys using the spear.
You could do it, but I just figure, you know, they're building Bray Wyatt up for somebody, and it's not Brock Lesnar, so the only other person I could see is Roman Reigns.
Oof.
I sense Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. I don't know this. You know, obviously Brock Lesnar, Drew McIntyre looks like a really good bet.
Yes, yeah. But I don't know if anyone would be interested in seeing Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt.
But somebody has to wrestle Bray Wyatt.
Well, that's unfortunate in itself.
You know, they're not going to do a rematch with Daniel Bryan. That was pretty much a a very conclusive finish.
Yeah, it really was. So, I mean, that's the men's side of things, Dave. Looking at the women's side of things, Charlotte Flair has a stand-up performance tonight, as surprisingly does Bianca Belair. What do you see playing forward? I mean, we've had two callers call in already and say Becky versus Charlotte is something we've seen before and don't want to see again. Is that the plan?
I mean, it's one of two things. It's either Becky, Charlotte, Bailey versus somebody. I sense the strong booking of Shayna Baszler is that she's going to be in there. So it could very well be Becky and Shayna, Charlotte and Bailey, you know, as the two singles matches.
I think in terms of Shayna, she should be on Raw tomorrow night or wherever they're going to put her, because
I would think that she'd either be on. If she's on Raw, then she's probably going to be wrestling Becky. If
right.
she's on SmackDown, then she'll probably be wrestling Bayley.
Right. I guess it depends.
Shayna should be. I mean, Shayna. You know, Shayna's long overdue for the main roster anyway.
But what they did tonight, to me, is you got to get her in there because she put on a great performance tonight. She's going to be remembered by the fans, and here's a chance that maybe we could get one of the NXT people over without wrecking it.
Yeah. Well, they need to continue this push on one of those two shows.
Couple other things we saw tonight, a decent showing from Keith Lee, but an absolutely atrocious showing for Matt Riddle.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Being punished tonight? Is there any merit to the report that came out midway through the show about some sort of confrontation or discussion between Matt Riddle and Brock Lesnar? Any legitimacy?
Something happened, whether it was an angle. You know, because the thing with Bill Goldberg was legit. And, you know, Paul Heyman's mind works in certain ways, and having a confrontation with Brock Lesnar, since everyone knows his confrontation with Bill Goldberg was legit, does make sense as a Paul Heyman angle. But
right.
I don't know that it's a Paul Heyman angle, but it is the type of thing he would do, and if he would do it with Lesnar. Because remember, he did it with Lesnar and Undertaker at a UFC show.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
So it fits in that way of thinking.
Well, you just mentioned Undertaker right there, and there is this other rumor that is creeping out in regards to the next Saudi Arabia show. Is there any merit to Sting being a part of this and perhaps the opponent being the Undertaker?
I was told today there's nothing to that.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I've been the guy who's been wanting that for, you know, 10, 15 years, and it used to be a dream, and now it'll just be a nightmare if that happens.
It's past its due date, yeah.
Yeah, I was told that one's not happening, and that Sting is not wrestling again.
Good.
You know, Sting's, what, almost 60? He'll be 61 by the time WrestleMania comes, and he had a broken neck a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, Edge is 45, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
So it's one thing when you're 45 to come back from that injury, but when you're 61, and he was told to have surgery, and Sting didn't have surgery, whereas Edge did have the surgery.
Right.
Dave, just curious, too, with the women's battle royal tonight, Sasha Banks. No Sasha Banks. Is something up? Well, I was surprised that she wasn't involved in some way.
Yeah, I was, too. I don't have an answer. I've asked the question, but I haven't gotten an answer back on that.
And the whole thing with Rusev and Lashley, did they just decide at the last minute they needed more spots? Because that was very weird.
I think so, because there were, didn't Kane go on the show like
yes.
3 weeks ago and say that he was going to be
yep.
in the Royal Rumble?
Yep.
Yeah, and he wasn't. There was no sign of Kane whatsoever. I know Kane Velasquez was training for the Royal Rumble, and he wasn't there. So it feels like they had some spots that opened up. Now, the one thing that surprised me was MVP, because it's like there was no real point to him. And, you know, there were guys on the main roster who didn't get in. And, you know, so I don't know, and I don't know if he's back, but I don't know why he would be brought back at this stage. I mean, he did leave on his own to go to Japan, but that was so many years ago that he left.
Oh, I got an idea. How about you get rid of Lana and you put MVP beside Bobby Lashley and you recreate what actually worked in Impact?
Yeah.
That was a nice angle they had. Dave, Worlds Collide last night. What did you think of the show?
Oh, it was really good. It was really good. You know, it felt at times when I was watching it like these matches, like these are good wrestling matches, but they don't really mean anything.
Right, yep.
But, yeah, I, I mean, everything was better than average. The two tag matches were really, really good. The main event I thought was great. So, yeah, good show, but it didn't have that feel. It wasn't like a takeover good. It was good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, without the storyline, it's not going to be a takeover
that's
good.
That's the thing. The in-ring was great, but there was really no emotional connection or anything, right?
Yeah, I thought, you know, it's like it didn't feel like there were a lot of ramifications. And in the women's championship match, just because Toni Storm hasn't even been on the main brand, I didn't really think that she could win. Although Jordan Devlin did win the title, and he's not on the main brand, so I mean the main NXT brand. So I don't know what's going on with that. Does that mean Jordan Devlin's going to be on 205 Live? I thought it was too early to take the title from Garza, but Jordan Devlin was the star of that match, and he is a great wrestler.
Having said that, Garza is coming off like a superstar there, and I'm just wondering if they pulled that title off Garza.
To make that move.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they're just bumping him higher on the card. Anyway, Dave, that's great. Thank you for joining us this week. What is coming up in The Observer? You're putting one out this week, right? Lots of recap of the cruise?
Yeah, tons of stuff. Just catching up on all the news and all the things that are going to happen. We'll probably have a lot on the Jericho cruise. You know, I presume we'll have a lot on WrestleMania by, you know, the next couple of days. We'll have, you know, figure out where that thing's going and, you know, just... you know, some of the upcoming shows, coverage of a lot of the shows. There's just lots and lots of ratings news from the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, I really missed not reading a newsletter this week. So
yeah, I missed not doing it, but there was no internet where I was.
Right.
So it was impossible to do it.
All right, Dave. Well, look forward to chatting with you next week on the show. Appreciate it.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Dave Meltzer, you can, of course, find all of his work at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll take more of your phone calls if you want to call on in, 1-866-729-2562. Lavransky and I have still got to talk a little bit more about Worlds Collide, and along with that, Mouthwatch NWA on Friday as well. It's been a big weekend. We'll tell you all about everything else that went on, plus more Rumble chat. Okay, sounds good. Give us a call. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
To Flair and Baszler.
Baszler's cut.
No. Charlotte Flair trying to hold on. Oh, Flair.
No.
Flair's got to keep her feet off of the ground.
Charlotte has such tremendous upper body strength.
Right now, Baszler. Baszler right behind her. Backing up for Charlotte. Charlotte Flair.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Flair did it. Yes. 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 He did it.
Nice work there. Nice work with the collage there.
Well, you know, that dates back to the 1992 Royal Rumble. I had that idea after Charlotte won, where, of course, Rick won. And I played the clip, and I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, Rick was good. But Bobby Heenan was just so incredible.
As we've said a million times, that win is 100 times better because Bobby Heenan was doing the commentary. It helped it so much because WWF fans weren't familiar with Flair at that point. Right? He had just come in.
Yep.
And so Heenan was so essential to that. It's part of what made that so great and why everybody remembers it, too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's also the only time where I believe the title
was up
for grabs.
Right.
And because initially with the Rumble, it wasn't necessarily you get a title shot. I mean, that wasn't a stipulation.
No,
it was just, hey, you're the Rumble winner.
That's right.
Good for you, chap.
Right. That's right.
You know, they put big stakes in play with Flair winning, and he came in number 3 that year as well. So
the whole thing.
I think at that time he was in there for the longest ever.
I think that he had the record at that point, yes.
I mean, it's been beaten several times over since then, but I mean, that was one of the legendary Royal Rumble moments was Ric Flair there. And tonight, his daughter Charlotte wins and then heads to what seems to be perhaps a very questionable match if it does end up with Becky and Charlotte. And I think, you know, what we don't want, if Shayna does end up on that brand, which to me, makes sense because you have the built-in rivalry already with, yeah. with Shayna and Becky coming out of Survivor Series. Is a three-way would not make sense there? Because we saw that last year, and Charlotte kind of shoehorning Charlotte in ruined it.
That's it. They put in Charlotte at the last minute, and I remember we were all upset because we just wanted the singles match. No, I would hope they don't go the three-way route again.
And if it's Shayna versus Bayley, that doesn't do it for me either.
No, that's not. I don't like Bayley.
Bayley's a dead champ.
Yeah, I don't like her as a heel. She's horrible as a heel. It just doesn't work with her.
Well, she was horrible as a babyface by the end of it, too, on the main roster.
Shayna versus Becky or Shayna versus Charlotte, I would like to see.
One of those two, yeah. But, you know, I think they still believe that Becky is the hot one to have in the main event. So Charlotte seems to be the odd woman out here. I mean, I guess you could have Charlotte turn around and challenge Bayley instead, but again, it's going to be weird if Andrade's on Raw,
yeah,
and those two just seem to be inseparable, right. Or at least that's what their social media makes you believe. It's gross.
The other thing too is if you did something with Shayna, you could have Rhonda in the other girl's corner to kind of combat the MMA kind of thing or something like that. Because I don't see Ronda Rousey doing a match, but I could certainly see her making an appearance at WrestleMania
against Shayna. Like you mean in the opposing
yes.
corner?
Yeah,
they're still buds though. They haven't done that division as of yet. I don't necessarily. I think that they have to be buds first, and then the natural turn happens.
Something happens,
and you can
yeah.
turn Ronda back into a babyface and have Shayna be heel if Ronda comes back and does another run.
Well, I
think there's something to that.
I just feel that they're going to use Ronda in some way at Mania, but I don't think they're going to put her in a match.
No, I don't think so.
So I
either.
Could see something like that where she's in someone's corner.
Let's take a look at last night's World's Collide show. I think we both had the same kind of feeling. To me, I was actually pleasantly surprised by this because, you know, much like the Saudi shows, these shows just get in the way of storylines that are taking place.
This one in particular, for sure, because it just kind of comes in the middle of all the stuff that's happening on the regular NXT show.
We just saw NXT Blackpool as well.
Right, and it just messes up all the angles and storylines. I mean, match-wise, NXT, these type of shows, the in-ring is always phenomenal. Phenomenal, but I just find sometimes that I don't have a real engagement emotionally or dramatically like the way I might have in other stuff when the angles and stuff are built up properly. I just feel where these great matches are thrown at us, but there's no real investment.
Well, what I liked about in particular, I think it really frames up with the Mustache Mountain and DIY match. The return of DIY was really lame how they got into it.
I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I hated it. Yeah, it just made, hey, let's do it again. Okay.
Okay, we just beat the crap out of each other for a year and a half, but yeah, let's do it again.
Like, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was ridiculous, but I will say, if you remove that aspect of it, what was nice about this is you watch these guys just have a good time doing what they're doing,
yes.
and the comedy spots in the middle of it were excellent. You know, you had the mustache thing that Tommaso Ciampa did, and then Trent Seven outdid him, and then Ciampa posed, and Trent Seven was going to get into posing. He's like the worst body, in the WWE organization is Trent Seven. So that was quite funny. Also, the thing where they were sitting, they threw the British guy's Mustache Mountain into the announcer's desk and just sat on the apron and like hugged each other.
Yes.
I got a real rise out of that. Right. And the work rate in that match was very good. So it was a fun match. And once that took place, one thing that I thought they did a good job of mouth was the fact that you had DIY win that match. But what you didn't want to do here is continually make NXT UK look secondary. So Imperium going over in the main event, I thought was a good idea.
Oh, yeah. And despite what happened, too, right? Even with Wolf getting taken out early on in the match with a legit injury.
He's okay, by the way.
Yeah, he is. He's fine. I agree with you. I expected that. I kind of expected them to go over. And I love the image of the three of them just standing there at the end, because that's three big guys, you know?
Would you, though?
Really great visual, I thought.
Would you have changed the direction? Because it did seem weird to me that when they became down 3-2, that Imperium still defeated.
No, I wouldn't have changed it.
You wouldn't have changed
it. No, because it makes them look like super badasses. Like, even with one down, we managed to take on the Undisputed Era and come out on top. Plus, it's pretty hard in the thick of a match. I mean, I suppose the referee could say, okay, we're going to switch it, but I was glad they didn't.
Yeah, that match did look difficult, and clearly there were a lot of missing beats. I mean, listen, it was still great, but there were missing beats, and I can only imagine how good it would have been if Alexander Wolf was there.
I'm sure they had other spots planned and things they wanted to do and they couldn't do with him not being there. So, but I still thought the seven guys had a great match.
I thought the down part of this show was the women's match. Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm. Toni Storm just outright didn't belong to be, should not have been in this match after losing on NXT UK Blackpool. She had no business being here.
Yeah, I love Rhea Ripley. I just think she's just fantastic. I can't wait till she gets up to the main roster.
I think Toni Storm has been absolutely ruined by WWE. I remember her in the Mae Young Classic coming in, and she had this whole thing where she's the punk girl, you know, she's using her butt and just rubbing it. And like, but that was a very big part of her character, and it's like she's had the PG treatment done to her, and it's taken away everything she was, and it hasn't been replaced with anything.
Right, all the good stuff is gone.
Her booking has been very much compromised as well in the switch over from NXT UK to the main NXT brand. She was not positioned strongly when she came in. She just kind of showed up. Toni Storm has not been pushed well at all.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, it's what it was.
How was NWA on Friday?
NWA Hard Times was really good, I thought. I'm a big fan of the NWA and what they're doing right now. I thought the go-home show, the last go-home show that they did that aired a few days before the pay-per-view, I thought was one of the best go-home shows I've seen in a long time, especially coming off the Raw that led into this, the Rumble. I thought the go-home show for Raw on Monday was horrible. As a push to the Rumble, I thought it was terrible. But NWA Power, they just do, to me, again, some people online were crabbing that they thought the matches were slow moving and it's a different, but it is, it's a different animal. You can't compare it to like NXT. You can't. They're two different things. NWA Power is much more focused on storylines and characters, and much like what AEW is trying to do, they like to do multi-layer storylines. So you have something that's way down the road that's the final goal, but you have a bunch of other stories that interweave with that goal. And I've always liked that, and NWA Power does a really good job of that. So I like the show. They did the TV tournament. Ricky Starks is their TV champion.
And that main evented. Did that surprise you?
No, not really, because they did give a lot of play to the tournament on the regular show, and it was set up. Plus, you could do it. They had the whole tournament throughout the pay-per-view, so to me, it would only make sense that it would be the main event. I mean, the bulk of the tournament was right in the pay-per-view.
Right, right.
So I thought that made sense. I didn't mind that the Nick Aldis match was not the main event. It wasn't supposed to be title match. It kind of got moved into that as the show went on, as part of the story, so I don't have a problem with that being second. And I was glad to see the Rock and Roll Express drop the belts.
Yes.
It was nice to have them in there for a little bit of rub to the old school connection of the NWA. But it was good, just a short title run, and now we've got the other guys with the belts.
Did NWA, because I hadn't heard, did NWA announce another pay-per-view? Because this one, you know, everything that we've said on the show was it did come too close. So did they announce another one?
They did. I'm trying to remember when it was. I can't remember if it was. It's coming up, though, fairly soon. It's going to be March, I think. I think it's in March.
So they're only a couple months. They're putting a couple months in between.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in March, and it's going to be again at the studio where they tape the TV.
All right. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take another break. We'll come on back. We're going to do our trivia next. It is the second of the third round matchups. We will do that next here on the show. And then after that, come back with your feedback right here. We're live tonight. We're talking the Royal Rumble and everything else that has gone on this week in the world of pro wrestling. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
Hey, ladies!
Funky.
Turnbuckle trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event, our second game in the Rock and Wrestling division. The category from last week remains the same, but these two gentlemen, since we bulk tape, don't know it yet. Let's introduce them, meet the players. First of all, Zach from Newcastle, how is your confidence level in round three?
Oh, about the same as one and two, so average.
You've done well so far. Now, your opponent, though, is Jay from North Bay by way of Toronto. And Jay, how groggy are you this time around?
I'm feeling pretty groggy.
Okay, well, that's been good for you so far. So, gentlemen, your category, all of the round three category, is females in the world of professional wrestling. You're in rock and wrestling. You get ladies of the 80s. This is a tough one. Let's get to it. Zach, you're player one. Jason, you are player two. Here we go. Zach, we can't talk about women of the 80s without mentioning Miss Elizabeth. What was Elizabeth's last name? Her real last name, Zach.
No idea.
It is Hewlett. Elizabeth Hewlett. All right, Jason. One of Elizabeth's first big angles in WWF was in 1986, when who developed an innocent crush on her and led to a feud with Randy Savage?
George the Animal Steel.
That is correct. George Steel did lead to the WrestleMania 2 matchup. Zach, to you, the formation of the Mega Powers occurred when Elizabeth ran to get Hulk Hogan to save Randy Savage on September 23rd, 1987. Who had pushed Elizabeth to the mat before she ran to get Hogan on that Saturday night's main event?
Boss Man?
No, Zach. It was the Honky Tonk Man. It was when Savage was being held by the Hart Foundation and Honky bashed him over the head. All right, Jason, back to you. After the Mega Powers exploded, Elizabeth would spend some time away from Randy Savage. That is, until he lost a match at WrestleMania 7. Who attacked Randy Savage after this match, prompting Elizabeth to come in for the save?
That was Queen Sherry.
Yes.
Sensational Sherry.
Sherry Martel. All of those are correct answers. Very good, Jason. All right, Zach, let's get one here. In her final angle in the WWF, who engaged in a feud with Randy Savage, claiming that he was going to reveal a nude photo of Elizabeth at WrestleMania?
Ric Flair
did. Very good. Jason, back to you. Now, when Elizabeth returned to Savage's side, it was in WCW in 1996. But she would quickly turn on him at Super Brawl 6 and side with whom? Yeah, WCW is harder.
Yeah. Was it Ric Flair?
It was Ric Flair. Yes, indeed it was. Double Ric Flair questions in a row there. Now, Zach, to follow up on that, keeping with WCW, Elizabeth would become the co-manager of the Four Horsemen with what other female?
Woman.
Yes, very good. Woman is correct. All right, Jason, if you get this, you have mathematically eliminated Zach, and you move on to the next round. But this,
and I go back to bed.
You could do that. This is the hardest question of this quiz. On May 8th, 2000, Elizabeth actually wrestled a match on Nitro. Who was it against?
I do remember this happened. I don't remember who it was against. I'm just going to take a shot in the dark. And I'll say it was against Asia.
It was not Asia. It was the screaming lady herself, Daphne. So that means, Zach, if you get this, you do tie, but Jason will have one more question. Randy Savage would replace Elizabeth in WCW with a woman named Miss Madness. She would go on to be whom in the WWE?
Molly Holly.
That's correct, Molly Holly. All right, Jason, this is it. If you get this, you move on to the next round. Savage also had two other women by his side for his Team Madness gimmick. One was Medusa. The other's real name was Stephanie Bellers, but she went by what classic wrestling name?
Gorgeous George.
And that is the win. It is 4-3. Congratulations, Groggy Jason. You are moving on to the next round. Zach, one hell of a game, but I think really Hewlett and Honky gotcha.
Yeah, they did. Good job, Jay. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Jay moves on to the next round where he will play Anthony for the finals of our rock and wrestling division. Next week, we move to the Attitude Era and all the women of the Attitude Era in Turnbuckle Trivia. We will continue on here, though, on Sunday night's main event. Lots more to come. Stick with us on TSN Radio.
Please join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
Means anything nostalgia or novelty wise in the women's division? So
I've got one. Santina.
What is Naomi doing?
It's Santina.
What?
She looks wonderful.
It's wonderful.
should have put on some weight.
Can't say that, Tom.
No.
Well, I told him I would play the clip if it happened, and sure as anything, bartender Dave making the prediction last night that Santino...
Now, had he heard, like, did he hear rumblings? This was totally just off the top of his head.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, just like, he's like, I got it, Santina. Boom, there you go.
I didn't think he had it in him.
Well, he made the prediction also. A little housekeeping here. The six-pack challenge, it was myself versus Joe. And Le Champion retains.
No way. He won again?
He won again.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to figure out what to do here because he's defeated us all like twice now.
Yeah, that's right. He's been through everybody. Yeah.
So we'll figure out what to do there. To follow up on what Meltz had said about AJ Styles, so just doing a little bit of reading here from various sites, and it looks like upon the Edge spear where AJ sold it incredibly, he kind of did a whole 360. He came down right on what looks to be his left shoulder and then was communicating to everyone in the ring to not touch him. Medical personnel was at ringside as well looking at him and did so afterwards as well. So I'm sure news will be out tomorrow.
So I wonder if he got tossed out sooner than he should have.
An audible was, apparently what I'm reading here is an audible was called and he did get tossed out before he should have. So, I mean, if we saw a little bit of the Edge and AJ interaction, there may have been more of that plan.
That might have been the plan, right?
That we don't necessarily, weren't able to see just due to this injury.
Very interesting.
Bit of feedback before we say goodbye for tonight. Just pulled a few clips, pulled a few comments that is off the Facebook page because a lot of you were going bananas tonight back and forth while watching this show. It's always one of the favorites. The most comments and probably, you know, the most listens to this show, Mania and Rumble.
Right.
To me, Rumble's still, to me, it's number one. It always has been. Tommy says, I have not been this genuinely happy about a Royal Rumble winner in a long, long time.
I agree. Like I said, and not just who won it, but the way it was booked and how it played out as well. I really enjoyed it, yeah.
Drew McIntyre is actually the chosen one.
That's right, he was.
He is actually the chosen one tonight.
It took
him a while.
It took about 10 years, he's finally
10,
there.
I think probably
was it
more
15?
Than 10.
Yeah, it was a long time. Yeah, it was a long time.
Mark Bennett says, lots of twists and bumps on the road to WrestleMania. The Women's Rumble was a lot of fun, introduced a lot of new women to the universe, and Shayna and Bianca got over.
The only thing I didn't like about the women's was Mercedes. I did not like the way that she was treated. I thought she should have been in there longer.
Dan says, Lacey is still so clunky in the ring. She just isn't good enough to be in the spot they're giving her. Not a fan. I think she's gotten better.
I do too.
And I also think that there is going to be a lot more emphasis on her. I really do think that they're going to get behind her as a giant baby.
So
face.
Do I.
And did you see the musical clip that I posted up a while?
Yes, with Elias. Yes, and her daughter. Yes, I saw it. Yeah.
There's something to
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yes.
That was kind of charming to me. And I don't really... I like the way she plays her character. I think she's good at it, but I don't really like her in the ring. And I don't think the character works, but I think she plays it well, if that makes any sense.
No, totally. She's working well with what she's given, right? I think I've noticed drastically getting better in the ring. I do think the promos are getting better, and I honestly think she'll be more successful as a babyface. I really do.
Darren says, the women's title picture on SmackDown sucks. Bayley is rubbish as a heel and a poor champion.
Good.
And Lacey, while improving, is nowhere near ready for this sort of position yet. Hopefully Charlotte jumps to SmackDown, but she isn't going anywhere with Andrade on Raw.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's right.
In regards to the women's rumble, Darren says, all those super talented women in NXT must be delighted at the prospect of ending up on the main roster just to run into Charlotte Flair roadblock. Charlotte Flair does seem to be, I guess, overexposed, perhaps, because she is out there a lot all the time, but she does seem to be.
But is she any more overexposed than, say, Becky or Bayley or any of the rest of them?
I think the difference with Becky is more over. And part of the problem as far as Charlotte goes is they've confused her and gone back and forth between heel and babyface.
And yes,
she
and
just needs to stick.
With no real reason, right? No. They're just doing it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she is a heel.
Yes.
She is incredibly dislikable.
She's just like her dad. She's more comfortable in the heel role. He was always the same way. He didn't like playing babyface, and I don't think she does either.
Mandeep says, I really want to see Edge win. I haven't cared this much about wrestling in years.
There you go. That's pretty amazing.
Angelo says the Rumble was awesome. Awesome in capital letters. It was well thought out, had tons of continuity, progressed all storylines, gave us closure in certain areas, and created some new stars. New stars?
Well, we'll have to see.
Drew, I guess.
We'll have to see. I mean, Bianca, I mean, to the average fan, someone like Bianca is...
This is about the female Rumble. You know, so I was thinking the male Rumble.
Bianca, yeah. For sure, you know, and Shayna to a certain degree.
Yes.
I mean, I thought those two... Seriously, if they don't capitalize on those two, it's ridiculous because they made them both look pretty amazing, especially Bianca. I mean, she was in there for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, and I don't think she's coming up to the main roster.
It's weird.
I mean, but the fact of the matter is, listen... NXT is on mainstream television, so people can find her if
they
want to.
That is true.
So let's consider that.
Yeah, and that's good. And also, I just like the idea of planting a little seed in the people's heads first before just bringing them up out of the blue on the TV. Like, seeing them in a match like this, you kind of go, wow, I'd like to see more of her rather than, oh, who's this?
I'm curious to see what happens. I mean, she is the opponent for Rhea Ripley at the next show, and... I'm wondering how she's going to do in a one-on-one because she was both her and Shayna were very exposed in the match that they had months ago.
That's true.
So I'm very curious to see what they do with her and Rhea Ripley. Angelo also said, I would have preferred to have seen Shayna win the Women's Rumble, but I'm okay with Charlotte if she challenges both Becky and Bayley. That's what he wants, both Becky and Bayley.
What, like a three-way?
Three-ways.
No.
I don't think so either.
No, I don't want that. No.
Yeah. And he said, great pay-per-view, loved it. So those were a bit of feedback that I pulled out of it, out of the comments tonight that were on the Facebook
page.
My goodness, it was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
So that is the Rumble. I mean, we're generally giving it a thumbs up tonight. Both of the Rumble matches delivered, and honestly, that is what you watch for.
Yeah, I mean, I found that I was really engaged during the Rumble matches, but then I found once we got to, like, Daniel Bryan versus The Fiend or Reigns versus Corbin, I was just bored. Those matches they didn't captivate me in any way. But the Rumble matches, and I think part of it is, like you say, the matches all suffer on a Rumble show.
They do.
But I also feel that there wasn't really much to these ones, and that the Rumble, because they took such a unique and new approach, especially in the men's Rumble, they did that whole beginning with Brock. They've never done anything like that before, and it was great to see something different.
It was indeed. Different is good generally in the world of wrestling because we see so much of the same
the thing.
Over
they
and over
to
and
get
over
stuck
again.
In ruts, yeah. Right? Yeah.
That is going to wrap us up for this week. Thank you all for staying up late with us. Next week here on the show, we go back to our regular format, and it is going to be Bartender Day. Dave, the prognosticator, who is going to be sitting across from me.
He's never
going
to let you live it down, that Santina thing.
Well,
oh, geez.
I played the clip, so there you go. We'll see what else Dave will predict.
Can he walk yet?
Yes, he can walk. He's off the knee scooter.
He's finally done.
Yeah,
good. It's about time.
He's limping. He's limping, but he's walking. He's learning how to use his foot again. Mouth, thank you for coming in. Much appreciated.
Yeah,
you will,
no problem.
Of course,
anytime.
Be hanging out with Joe Aguinaldo this week, doing All Elite Weekly.
Yes, absolutely. We'll have our rundown of the show and any news during the week that we have to talk about. We'll all run through that. Yep.
So that is all good. So hit that up. Of course, a mouth show there, All Elite Weekly, is on the Patreon. So by all means, find it at patreon.com/SNME Radio. You can find all of our bonus shows there, as well as the unedited versions. Because honestly, sometimes when we put these shows up, we talk for a couple hours, and I can only put about 90 minutes on the radio.
Right.
So there is a lot more to it. So get that at patreon.com/SNME Radio. Wrapping up today, we'll talk to you next week on Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it.
Brother.
For less than a buck a show, you can get all that Sunday night's main event has to offer at patreon.com/SNME Radio.